Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right. Inside the car. A little recording studio away from home. All right, here we are. Welcome to the Daily Drive. I'm in my car. I'm heading over to pick up my son from school. He's now in high school, and the drive's a little bit further. So I thought I would take the time to do some bonus episodes. I thought it would be fun to cover topics that I can kind of talk, you know, off the cuff on. And I polled some of our community on the Discord and asked about the kinds of things that they would want to hear me discuss. And one of the things they noted was some what-if situations, which I think is totally makes sense for driving in the car. It's like talking to the person next to you. And I've got this new little microphone. Hope it's doing pretty well. But this episode is going to go up on the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the Fallout Lorecast, and the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, because I think it applies to all three fandoms, so it would make sense. And what am I talking about on my way to pick up my son today on the Daily Drive? Daily Drive. I need like a little jingle. I'm talking about canonicity. What makes something canon? Because it's something that applies to all fandoms. It's something that gets debated a lot every time there's a new movie or a new game or a new show or whatever. People tend to get all up in arms about what is or isn't canon. And this is something, especially doing a bunch of lore podcasts, that I come across all the time. I get all sorts of comments, and it's more often on the YouTube videos that I do, where people will say something like, oh great, this is from Fallout 76, never mind, as if that's not canon. Or this has to do with the Rings of Power TV show, psh, whatever. And they'll just dismiss something right off the cuff, right at the beginning. And then there's the flip side, where people tend to include pretty much anything, including things other creators have made, stuff from mods, stuff from, for example, the Fallout IP was originally not owned by Bethesda, but then eventually it was owned by Bethesda, and some people took that jump really easily, and other people are still hanging on to, well, if it's not Fallout 1 or 2 or New Vegas, then it's not actually canon. It's not lore. Everybody creates these little dividing lines wherever they feel like it best fits. And there are a lot of justifications for this. It's actually a kind of a confusing thing. So I wanted to discuss what canon actually means and how we engage with canon or canonicity and how that is important to some people more than others and how that actually works. So here's what I've done. I've looked up the definitions of the word canon, and according to a few different sources, we've got the dictionary.com version, a collection or list of sacred books accepted as genuine being, I think, the key word there. And then this other one from vocabulary.com, it says, a collection of rules or texts that are considered to be authoritative. And it's the authoritative definition that I think most resonate, words are hard, most, it's the authoritative definition that actually I think is most important in the conversation. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be authoritative? Well, it means to have control, to have authority over a topic. And I had a conversation recently with a member of the community, shout out, you know who you are, about canonicity, and they helped me see that their perspective might be a little bit different from mine, but may actually play into what other people in the community actually think about what canon means. And I'm going to go through some of the details about that as we go through this conversation. But in my mind, when I've talked with developers, whether they work on Fallout or Elder Scrolls, and I obviously can't have conversations with J.R.R. Tolkien about Lord of the Rings, but when I talk with developers, the way they define what is canon is it in one of the games? And is it in one of the games that they, the people who own the IP, define as being canon for the series? So for something like Fallout, that means Fallout 1, Fallout 2. Also, Fallout Brotherhood of Steel is on the list. Or is it Tactics? It's one of the two. I think it's Tactics. Tactics is, that's the one. Tactics is now on the list of canon, according to Bethesda. Fallout 3, New Vegas, 4, and 76 are all, in their eyes, canon. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't differences between the games, that some of the games reinterpret the lore or kind of rewrite some of the details from previous games. One of the other things that's included in canon is the Fallout TV show. That is canon. And the reason why they can say that is what is canon is because they are the authority on the topic, simply due to the fact that they own the IP. They don't have to be somebody who was the original writer. They just have to be the owner. Now, I immediately understand that this definition will hit some of you sideways. The response to that is, just because somebody owns it doesn't necessarily mean they are an authority on it. And I can totally see that. Let's talk about Star Wars. The canon of Star Wars for decades was what was originally produced in Star Wars at all, for the most part. Whether that was the movies, any of the weird TV shows that they did, or cartoons, comic books, and especially the novels. The series of novels that came out were all considered canon until Disney purchased the property. They bought the IP. They bought Star Wars. And they decided that they were going to free themselves up in order to define canon differently by saying that these were all legends. All of this previous stuff was legends, and the things that they were going to make, starting with the new set of movies and being based off of simply the films, that's what canon was. From that point on, Star Wars canon is different, and it has changed. And to say that they don't have authority to make that decision because they're the IP owners, I think is a little bit, I don't know, it's a little bit rough to say that. I would imagine that anybody who has ownership over a property would want to claim that they have authority over what happens to that property. If I own a car, then I want to be able to define for myself the nature of how that car is used. Can you drive my car? Well, it's up to me. I'm the owner. Can you make changes to my car if you're the mechanic? Well, it's up to me. I'm the owner. Does that make sense? So I think that there is a significant amount of eggs in the basket of, that's not a very good analogy, of the owner of the property is therefore authoritative and can define canon. The flip side to this that was argued back to me is that everybody contributes to that fandom. If everybody contributes to that fandom in all sorts of different ways, whether it's the creating of mods, whether it's the writing of fan fiction, or even if it's just their own experiences with that IP. And this is particularly interesting for not just things like movies and books, which exist on their own. And sure, we have our own perceptions and experiences of those movies and books. But for video games, where you get to make your own choices, there are a lot of decisions that you make in a game like Fallout or Elder Scrolls that somebody else may not make. So is my canon different from your canon? And some people would argue that absolutely it is. Some people would also argue that if you're going to be an authority on something, it should be the people who are most educated about it, not necessarily the people who own it. In fact, that's an argument you see a lot of times on the internet, especially when it's people complaining about the Rings of Power or Fallout 76. They would say things like, well, just because they have the rights to create something in that universe doesn't mean that it makes sense. And me as somebody, and I'm just role-playing here, me as the person on the internet commenting on this, who has spent hundreds of hours in those worlds, studying and reading and playing and doing everything I can in them, has a better grip on it than the people who are behind the show or behind the game. Therefore, I'm an authority, and therefore my perspective on canon is more accurate than somebody else's. And I can see that argument as well. But the problem here, I think, comes down to two things: objective versus subjective experience. And so let's start with that one before I get ahead of myself. Objective versus subjective experience. Just because you have a subjective experience of something doesn't mean that it is the right or the only way to experience that thing. So just because, for example, you are somebody who found The Lord of the Rings with the original set of movies, with Peter Jackson's first trilogy, the Lord of the Rings, and that was your subjective experience, and then you go and you experience The Lord of the Rings in other ways, and then eventually you read the books. But then, because the books are different from the movies, you think, well, I like the movies better, so I think the movies are actually a better canon in some ways than the books. And that's going to sound backwards to most people, because most people would say J.R.R. Tolkien was the writer of the books. That is absolutely the canon, and any other interpretation doesn't hold as much weight. But some people would argue the opposite, because they have a subjective experience, and they have a very powerful subjective experience. That experience of experiencing those movies, I can keep using the word experience, really resonated with them in a certain way, and they can't see Aragorn as being different than the movie representation of Aragorn, even though the book Aragorn is actually very different. So subjective experience colors our perspective. But again, we have to return to the original definition of canon. What does canon mean? It means that it's authoritative. And this is where we get to the second piece of this. I think there are some complexities here when you start to argue that somebody's perspective subjectively can help define what canon is, because then you get to the problem of what I'll call multiplicity. There are lots and lots of us who enjoy The Lord of the Rings or Fallout or Elder Scrolls. Millions of people. And by that measure, there are probably, let's say, even 1% of that population is educated enough across all of the materials of whatever fandom you're considering for them to feel like an authoritative source on those things. That's wonderful. That's great that that people are that into it. I would consider myself in that 1%. But does that mean that my perspective is more important than anyone else who's in the similar situation as I am? Now, what percentage of those millions of people who are fans are in that 1%? Or I guess what number of people are in that 1%? Well, you'd still have to say thousands and thousands of people. So can there be thousands of different versions of canon? That doesn't seem to match the definition. The definition of canon is an authoritative version of things, a single authoritative version of things. So if you go the subjective route and you say that everybody who has enough of a viable experience in education and something can define what canon is, but there are thousands of those perspectives, then none of them are going to coincide 100% of the way. So we are still left with an uncomfortable version of what the actual canon is for that IP. Because we will never get to agreement about these things. And that's where we're kind of stuck. That's why I think in order for canon to make sense as a definition, just based on the word itself, there has to be a singular, overarching, defining perspective on something. And that's really easy when it comes to something like Lord of the Rings, because you can say what is canon is what J.R.R. Tolkien wrote or what he intended through his letters and other conversations later where he clarified some of those details. It's really easy when there's just one author to say, okay, well, they're the writer, they've defined canon, and
simply because they were the ones who created that, their perspective is more authoritative than anyone else's. It gets more complex when the IP moves on, when people are creating the Rings of Power or subsequent video games and they're not the original IP owners. Then it becomes more complex. And that's why I think if we have to define canon as being a singular authoritative source, then it's important for that to be the IP owner, because that is the one thing that distinctly makes them different from everyone else. Now, that doesn't mean that the IP owner is going to make decisions that you or I agree with. It doesn't mean we're going to be happy with the canon. It doesn't mean that they're going to always 100% of the time decide to expand the universe in ways that actually matches all the other things and all the other experiences in a perfectly comfortable way. That's probably not going to happen. In fact, that's just the nature of storytelling. It never happens like that. And I think I'm going to get into the nature of storytelling in a future one of these episodes. So if that's the case, then I think really what the distinction here is the difference between something that is defined as canon and something that is headcanon. Or we need another word. Canon is the objective, agreed on, authoritative perspective based on, I mean, not even agreed on, it's the authoritative perspective of the information because one authoritative source said so. But it doesn't mean you have to agree with it 100% of the time. It doesn't mean you actually have to think of it as your own personal canon, because our experiences are subjective. So there is a gray zone there. I guess what I'm getting to at the end of this kind of rambling here is that it's okay for us not to be happy with what is defined as canon by the current IP owners or even the original authors. It's okay for us to feel like that part of the story doesn't make sense, or that part of the story conflicts with other information that I have. And I think that's fine, because every creator is going to make mistakes. They're going to have issues in their writing. J.R.R. Tolkien is a wonderful example. When it came to the orcs, initially he thought, you know what, these are corrupted elves. And then as he continued on in his life, he realized that that was problematic for a few different reasons. So he passed on without really concluding that look at what the orcs actually are, where they came from. And so he left it open. And we've seen in the Rings of Power and the movies and video games that that perspective on orcs has been interpreted in different ways. And that's okay. And to say that that canon is kind of up in the air, I think is okay. It's okay to have mystery. It's okay to have things that just aren't 100% refined and finished. So that's where I land on canon. It's one of those topics that I think hits me a little bit weird because of how often it comes up and how staunch people are with respect to the canon and that sort of thing. And I'll get into it. I'm going to do another one of these episodes where I talk about storytelling and the nature of storytelling, because I think that shines a significant amount of light on the perspective of how stories actually work. So be listening to that or for that in the future. And I hope you've enjoyed this daily drive. The daily drive. And if you've enjoyed this, let me know, comment on the Discord. This episode isn't going to have like patron call outs and things like that, because these are going to be whenever I feel like doing them. And so I thought you guys would enjoy extra content. So let me know what you think, and you're welcome to disagree with my perspective of canon. And who knows, maybe you'll give me some other insights that will refine my perspective and we'll continue to learn together. So thanks for tuning in. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. See you next time.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.